This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome John Tamney, the editor of Real Clear Markets, who is reviewing what we know about the Biden presidency in comparison or in contrast to the Biden senatorial service of many decades. John is pointing to a 2021 book about Mr. Biden written by the New Yorker staff writer Evan Osnos, in which the point is made that Mr. Biden votes with and always with the trend in front of him. That is why decades in the Congress as a successful politician, that is why two terms as a successful vice president, and now the first term as president. What is that style, and what are we looking for when it comes to remarks about the U.S. dollar, the all-powerful U.S. dollar that we depend upon for our prosperity to continue? Mr. Tamney, a very good evening to you. What was Joe Biden's talent in the Senate and as vice president? Good evening.
Well, John, his talent has always been that he compromises. He's a politician. Whereas Barack Obama kind of had an indifference, as Osnos says, to all the adoration he got. Biden has always been in love with people, would grab them by the head, by the elbow, kiss them, all that. He just loved being in the game. And so as a consequence, you often got a lot of votes out of him that you wanted. He voted for ending the separation between banks and investment banks on Wall Street. So that was Graham Leach Bliley. He voted for Iraq, for good or bad. He voted against for the Defense of Marriage Act. That was a bad one. There's a long list of compromises that just shows that he's not really an ideologue. He's first and foremost someone who tries to get it. Someone, as you allude to, who basically goes with the flow. And that's not necessarily awful in a president.
No, and the puzzle you present to us, it's not awful in a president. The puzzle you present to us is because in Mr. Biden's first months, many of his remarks are very pleasing to the left side of his party, sometimes the unusually extreme left side of his party, to do with all matter of policies. Now, let us apply this rather than speaking of Biden in general. When it comes to remarks about the U.S. dollar, Mr. Biden's remarks are also on the left, I can presume, although I can't remember him speaking specifically about whether he wants the dollar strong or weak. How does his Treasury Department present the Biden administration's policy on the dollar?
Well, so far, there's been largely quietude, and as a consequence, we haven't seen huge movements in the dollar, which is very much a positive, that there's an understanding there. And this isn't me defending him, but there's an understanding there that what comes from Treasury is basically Treasury speaking for the president. And so there's a reluctance to make big, big comments there. But it's important in understanding Biden more broadly. As I argue, he can make hard left comments, policy comments broadly, precisely because he has no majority, no major majority to turn those comments into actual legislation. In short, he has hard left rhetoric because he can. If he had majorities, he would actually have to sound far more Republican in how he approaches things.
I recall an incident, a moment on television in 1998. This was the crisis of worldwide currencies. I believe it was either triggered by or particularly part of the crash of the ruble, as I remember. This is Mr. Yeltsin was then president of Russia and very much in transition. But there were other currencies throughout Asia that all crashed. And there was a moment that Mr. Rubin, then Secretary of the Treasury, came out and spoke to the cameras supporting the dollar. That began the rallying that we needed on Wall Street. I believe Mr. Greenspan also moved at the same time. That was a significant factor, John, as I recall, in the success of the Clinton presidency. Was that a way of understanding how Mr. Clinton used his Treasury Secretary and even influenced the Federal Reserve to support the dollar? And that led to good consequences. But as I recall, Mr. Clinton did this without majorities in Congress. So what lesson do we take, if I remember that incident correctly, what do we take from that is not now present?
Well, the lesson you take from that is that, yes, Robert Rubin at Treasury was one of the great Treasury secretaries of all time, and that he recognized by not talking down the dollar, by not complaining about the dollar's relationship vis-a-vis the yen, and always talking up the importance of a strong dollar, that it set up a booming economy under a Democratic president who had raised taxes, among other things, because there are no companies and no jobs without investment first. Any policies meant to devalue the dollar put a bullseye on investors. Investors, when they put money to work, are buying future returns in dollars. And so it's something that all presidents, left and right, can learn, that if you talk down the dollar, you're talking down the economy. That's what our friend Larry Kudlow had said for years, is that you do not talk down the dollar, and they recognize this. And so the hope is that Biden's people, at least so far, recognize that there's nothing to be gained from having a dollar falling on your watch.
Now we come to remarks that the president has supported in various instances about the left part of his party moving the so-called stimulus packages. The support has been for tax the rich, pay their fair share, higher taxes on the rich. I understand it's mitigated recently with the confusion over the state and local taxes, but in any event, the rhetoric has been anti-rich. Does Mr. Biden join in that, and does it have significance, John?
I don't think so. And then let me be clear. I don't say this as a big fan of Joe Biden, but it's interesting to read Osnos's book. And again, there's so much I disagree with Evan Osnos about, but he makes the point that Biden, when he's gone to New York on fundraising trips, as all politicians do, he's made clear that he's not out to demonize the rich and that he doesn't want to see them basically be dispossessed. And this kind of makes sense. As you and I well know, you live in New York, or you have, some of the most enterprising people on earth are Democrats. The idea that they elect support Democratic presidents so they can have everything taken from them is laughable. And so I think with his rhetoric right now, Biden knows he can talk up making the rich, quote, pay their fair share, precisely because he knows he can't get that legislatively. In short, because he lacks any majorities, he can feed his hard left base with rhetoric, without feeding them with actual legislation.
This is beyond your piece in Forbes, but it follows naturally from your mention of Robert Rubin, Secretary of the Treasury. Janet Yellen has been chair of the Federal Reserve and is now Secretary of the Treasury. What is her opinion now of a strong dollar? Does she support it? Does she talk about it, John? Because she's been very involved in this corporate minimum tax worldwide.
Well, it's so interesting that you bring up Yellen and the corporate minimum tax, because this is crucial to understanding what we're getting from this administration. When did she say she was going to start lobbying for this minimum tax before Congress, before people could actually turn it into reality? She was talking about late spring of 2022. Now, John, you've been around enough elections in your life to know that no substantial legislation, particularly of the tax increase variety, ever happens just a few months before voters go to the polls. So it's been her implicit way of saying, hey, we know this has no chance of happening, so we're going to talk about it then. Again, we'll feed our base that wants to kill corporations, knowing that we can't do anything about it. And so with Yellen, in terms of the dollar, that's an interesting thing. Obviously, at the Fed, she really had no role. There's this myth that the Fed controls the value of the dollar, but it doesn't, and it never has. Will that change now? I certainly haven't seen any big comments from her seeking a weak dollar. And I guess you'd know that, even if you didn't know what she'd said, by the fact that the dollar hasn't collapsed on her watch as Treasury Secretary. And so hopefully this is a signal that at least implicitly she wants to pursue relatively sound money.
John Tamney, writing at Forbes. He's the editor of Real Clear Markets. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.